The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I want to give you an update and also a little addendum to last week's show. So last week I had a great conversation with Emily Letts about destigmatizing abortion. And one thing I did not mention that I want to tell you is that whenever someone posts a video with their abortion story on the Not Alone site, Not Alone makes a donation to Provide, which is a great nonprofit organization that trains healthcare providers on safe abortion procedures in communities with few or no abortion clinics. So if you want to post your story, that's an added incentive. Go to notalone.us. And hey, next week I will be in Baltimore, November 10th to the 12th. Monday, I'm teaching a class on open relationships at Sugar. Tuesday, I'm lecturing on feminist porn at Goucher College. And Wednesday, I'm appearing as a guest sexpert in Foreplay, a live comedy show about sex. And the theme this month is porn. So that should be really fun. There'll be prizes at various events. And you can just go to puckerup.com, click on the tour page for all the info about those. And definitely get tickets in advance if you want them. Also coming up next week, Pornotopia's 2014 Film Festival in Albuquerque, New Mexico, November 14th to the 16th, produced by Self Serve Toys. This is the Southwest's only ethical porn film festival. You're going to see a bunch of great films. They've picked several of mine. I'm really excited about that and proud to be included. And you can go to selfservetoys.com to find out more information. And we're live today, so you've eaten all your Halloween candy, and it's time for you to pick up the phone, people. Give us a call at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. You can also post questions and comments on Twitter, at Sex Out Loud Radio, or on Facebook.com/AskTristan. Remember, if you call and get on the air, or I read your question that you've emailed us, you win a prize from Sportsheets. Okay, so you've probably been reading about this on the news. I know that my social media feeds have lit up over it. Let me give you a brief rundown. Gian Gomeshi has hosted a radio show called Q on the CBC in Canada, and he's hosted various other programs for the CBC for 14 years. Earlier this month, the CBC fired him. Gomeshi says on his Facebook page, it's because of his kinky sexual practices. When this first hit the news cycle, I believe there were 3 women, but now actually a total of 9 different women have come forward to say that Gomeshi was physically violent to them without their consent during sexual encounters or right before sexual encounters, or that he sexually harassed them. Gomeshi contends that he, quote, does not engage in non-consensual role play or sex, and any suggestion of the contrary is defamatory, end quote. Well, the internet, of course, has lit up with folks on all sides of the issue. His fans coming to his defense quite strongly. Feminists who have said this isn't about BDSM, it's about abuse. Others who've said he's a rapist, and kinky people wondering what this means for the larger issues around how people view kink. I want to dig into these issues. And I've got someone who has not only written thoughtfully about this subject, probably one of the most thoughtful pieces online, but who has been doing this for kind of a long time and has a lot to say and a lot of knowledge. Andrea Zanin, aka Sex Geek, has been teaching about queer sexuality, non-monogamy, and BDSM leather internationally for over a decade. And she endeavors to bring an awareness of privilege and oppression to all her work. Andrea is pursuing a PhD in women's studies at York University with a focus on Canadian leather dyke history. She has written about sex, relationships, and kink for numerous magazines and newspapers, and she blogs at sexgeek.wordpress.com. Her erotic short stories and essays on sex and SM have been published in a number of anthologies. Andrea co-organizes the annual Canadian Leather Dyke Weekend and Unholy Harvest, runs a pervy book club called the Leather Bindings Society, and also, you know, in her spare time, judges the occasional leather contest. She lives in Toronto and enjoys cultivating master-slave relationships or MS relationships with exceptionally high-quality individuals, eating fine dark chocolate, something that we share in common, and wearing really nice shoes. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Andrea.
Thanks for having me on, Tristan. It's nice to see you again.
Yeah, well, it's nice to talk to you. I haven't seen you in quite some time, but I remember the last time we saw each other. Early last summer, I just want to give listeners who may not have read anything about this, the Toronto Star began looking into allegations by young women of sexual abuse from Gomeshi that actually has occurred over the past 2 years. The Star interviewed 3 women who they believed had pretty credible stories. And then as this became public, a lot more women came forward. None of the women, except one, actress Lucy de Couture, I think is her last name, is willing to go on the record for now with their name. So let's start there. Let's talk about this aspect, this idea that police say they actually have received more than one complaint, but no charges have been filed against Gomeshi, and people are really reluctant to attach their names to this.
The sort of more recent update is that there's actually 2 women who've come forward and been willing to name themselves, and 1 man. So there's even more.
Okay, no, but that's good news in terms of, yeah.
Yeah, so far so good. But to my knowledge, still no charges have been laid. The journalist who broke the story, his name is Jesse Brown, and he has been on Twitter recently sort of explaining that since the story came out, he has had so many more people approach him with more allegations that he actually can't handle them all. And so he's asking for other journalists to step up and collaborate with him. And he's working with, a couple of different news outlets to see who might be able to support them with some sort of, database and secure, investigation procedures and so forth. It's really getting gigantic. There's no further names added to the list yet, but it seems to have just touched off something huge.
And do you think the fact that this has become public and one person, Lucy, came forward and was public about it, that it's given permission to some of these other folks to go on the record?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, somebody has to be the first, right? I've said this a couple times. It seems that, in some ways, it's not surprising that the people who would come forward first with their names are people who are no longer young women looking to get a toehold in this really competitive media industry. They're people who are both established. I mean, the Lucie Ducoutere is both an actress and a Canadian Air Force officer, and the other woman who's come forward, her name is Reva Seth, and she is a lawyer and an author. They're people who are very established and very sort of have all the markers of traditional credibility, if you will. So it's not surprising that they're the ones who are speaking up, because they're the ones in some ways who are most likely to be believed. All the better if that opens the gates for other folks, but you can see how it all works out, right?
Well, and some may say that the first thing about this actually came out on Exo Jane, because a woman named Carla Ciccone wrote about this unidentified Canadian radio celebrity that many believe is Gomeshi, although she never named him. And just to give folks an idea of what some of these allegations are, I mean, for example, the actress Lucie told the Star that he, quote, without warning or consent, choked her to the point that she could not breathe and then slapped her hard 3 times on the side of her head. It's actually shocking to read some of the experiences, because they all seem, the thing that everyone seems to have in common is that the women feel completely caught off guard, which to me is immediately a red flag. I mean, part of BDSM is that you have a plan beforehand, at least to some extent, like you've talked it through.
Yes.
So what do you make about all of this when you read these encounters and some of the details?
Well, they are shockingly similar, for starters. Like, there's clearly a pattern, right? I mean, this is not a guy who's into spanking or whatever. It's all sort of, you know, punching and smacking around the head, which is freaks me right out, right? but that's a really common thing in all the allegations, or almost all of them. This is somebody who clearly knows enough of the language of BDSM to be able to toss around words like, you know, sexuality is a human right, and, you know, like consensual practices and blah, 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 and even the term BDSM. But that's not what any of the people making these allegations are speaking of at all. Like, the only reason we're even talking about BDSM is because he framed the conversation that way when he put this sort of preemptive strike Facebook post out there before any of the allegations even came out into the public eye.
Right. Okay, well, we're actually at our first commercial break. I don't know how that happened, because we've barely like dug in, but we are going to dig in deeper and talk about some of the media coverage of this and what it all means in a larger sense for kinky folks. But first, we're going to hear from our sponsors, including Good Vibrations, which is absolutely all about consensual BDSM and sex and lots of other great things. You can go to goodvibes.com and use coupon code Tristan for 15% off your order. Stay with us. More with Andrea Zanin when we come back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than 3 decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Terramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking with Andrea Zanon. And before the break, we set the stage here for these allegations against the CBC radio personality, Gian Gomeshi, and how up to 9 women and now 1 man have come forward with allegations that are all pretty similar. And they all include things like being hit with an open hand, punched, choked, other kinds of stopping of the breathing and the airways, verbal abuse. One of the women is quoted in the media as saying, "He hit me like I didn't know men hit women." So although Gomeshi says this is about consensual BDSM, this is clearly not some fun with blindfolds and feathers. And I'm wondering how we as kinky people can talk about this particular kind of play and still hold him responsible for his non-consensual behavior. Because one of the things that strikes me is like, this is heavy play, but this is play I know people do. But it is certainly not what the mainstream media has covered up till now. It is certainly not 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, not even close.
Right. And so how do we not sort of demonize all that stuff as like bad BDSM, but it's bad BDSM not because of the content of it, but because of the consent?
Yeah. Well, and I think for me at least, that was the line that I tried to walk really carefully when I wrote the piece that I did, which came out really early in this whole thing and got a lot of sort of traction, because I was like, I teach people how to punch people. Like that's a thing that's in my practice, you know, and it's very jarring to me to see, you know, I'm kind of like, wait a minute, but an unsolicited head punch, like I bet there are people out there who can teach you how to head punch safely. I'm actually not even one of them. I don't go near the head. I don't feel comfortable with that in my own safety. You know, maybe someone with boxing experience could teach you how to do that safely. Right. I'm not saying it's impossible, but if even someone who's been teaching that for 10 years doesn't know how, like, this is not, so, you know, never mind the level of clear, you know, inexperience and non-consent we're talking about. I don't know. It's just, I think that it is possible to say, yes, pervs do these things. And the thing that we don't do, or the thing that we should never do, is spring them on somebody without talking, you know?
You know, one of the things that strikes me that this brings to the surface, which is something that people often don't talk about, is that the truth is, you know, there are predators and serial abusers in the BDSM community. Just like they're in the gaming community, they're in social justice movements, they're in finance, they're in the restaurant industry, obviously.
But,
and you know, this is a big but, because this community is organized around an interest in taboo sexuality, in exploring pleasure and pain, in engaging in activities that out of context might look like violence, I think it's a much stickier situation. Or is it?
Well, I'm not saying it isn't, but I think, I mean, one of the things that's been really fascinating in this context so far is that, you know, I have yet to hear, at least, and again, we're talking about, and here's where the national border, for all, you know, I don't want to derail too far, but it actually makes a difference. I think that there is a different cultural context going on. I think that the ways that sexual freedom and, you know, and sexual rights and diverse sexual practices are discussed in Canada in general is a little different than happens. We don't have the same level of right-wing commentary as happens in the States. And so I actually haven't seen anybody so far really demonize the acts. Everybody seems to be focusing on the consent thing. Now, that's new. Like, I'm not saying that would have happened that way 10 years ago, but the conversation is actually pretty open to the idea that, you know, that this isn't about perverts being gross and this guy just being one example of it. It seems to be a lot more around, wow, that's terribly non-consensual, and it's giving it's giving the real perverts a bad name.
Right, right. Oh, I want to remind everyone that we're live, and you can give us a call at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. And we've got a caller on the line, Minx in Toronto. Hi, Minx.
Hey, what's up?
What do you want to say?
Well, basically, I read the piece that Andrea wrote about how this, you know, isn't so much about rough play and is more about consent. And I just wanted to maybe add the piece that, you know, you could see two people just kissing or, you know, having missionary position sex. And from just that image, you don't know that that is a consensual situation. I feel like we only talk about consent when it comes to the rougher play and the, you know, the face slapping and the choking and the stuff. But I feel like that piece is really missing when we talk about the sex that quote-unquote regular people or vanilla people or whoever are having. So that my personal opinion is that I think that we need to bring that consent piece out of just the BDSM community, and let's talk about, you know, a guy, you know, coercing his partner into sex or whatever can be just as terrible. Obviously, it's not like being punched in the head, but it's the same consent issue that's there, and I don't think it has anything to do with rough play at all.
That's a really interesting point, Andrea. What do you make of that?
I totally agree. I think, you know, there's a lot of cases in which the way that, not so much the way that kinky people frame the discussion, but the way that it gets framed by folks who are coming from an outsider perspective is that kink is inherently really dangerous. Therefore, it requires special, parameters, which sort of obliterates the idea that, you know, penis and vagina sex is actually also really dangerous in a lot of ways. And, you know, that the risks of that can be extremely high. And that there are a lot of BDSM activities that aren't, and that in fact there's a continuum of risk that's really quite independent of kink or not kink, and that I think everybody should be held to a higher standard of discussion, negotiation, consent, safety, risk awareness, etc., independently of exactly the kind of activity. So I'm totally on board with you. I think you're making a really good point.
Thanks, Minx, and make sure you email me a mailing address. You're going to get a prize from Sport Sheets. How apropos.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Okay, sure. I'll send it in.
But, sounds so excited.
I just wanted to say that as a BDSM community, we do in that way have a role to play because we're at the cutting edge of, you know, these issues of consent and, you know, how Hardy and Easton talk about building the kiln so that we can build the fire. And in vanilla sex, you might not be trying to build the same kind of fire that we're trying to build in SM sex, but we still need to talk about building the kiln, whether that's just for holding hands and cuddling or just having intercourse or choking or slapping around the head.
No, it's a great point. I mean, and I think you very articulated it very well, because I do think that BDSM kind of gets a bad rap and gets called, you know, we shine this light on it because it's the so-called alternative practice, when the basic tenets of BDSM really should be the basic tenets of all your sexual experiences.
Right.
And I think it makes assumptions about the kinds of sex other people are having and whether that in fact is consensual and safe, like you said, building the kiln, you know, building this safe container for our sexual exchanges.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want to take up all your time, but
thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Andrea, I mean, is the silver lining, if there is one to all this, that we're having these conversations? I mean, Christ, you wrote a very thoughtful piece on BDSM and consent for the fucking Globe and Mail. And for people who don't know, like, the Globe and Mail is essentially like the New York Times, except more conservative in Canada.
It kind of blew my mind.
That kind of blew my mind.
Yeah. sure, I'll do that. What's the deadline? What? Like, yeah, it was an interesting email exchange. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, here's the thing, right? I've been doing this kind of education work for well over a decade. You've been doing it for a long time too, longer than me. Same with any number of people. This is not new work and it's not new messages, right? The difference is who's listening. And that's the new piece here. And I am very, very hesitant to create any narrative in which John Gomeshi is doing us a favor or there's this wonderful happy outcome. It's not happy at all. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that it hasn't happened already. It's ridiculous that it hasn't happened on a broader scale many, many years ago, that the conversation has taken so long to take off. I'm not interested in giving credit to someone who's been accused of sexual assault, right? I'd rather give credit to a whole lot of factors and a whole lot of really smart educators and culture makers who have made these conversations available to jump into this kind of situation sort of on command, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not interested in sort of the narrative in which we're finding a happy, you know, like it seems like that's a kind of an insulting, not you. It's just that I've heard this out there, right? Oh, this is a great thing. And I'm like, no, we didn't need this, you know?
Right. And I mean, that's going to be my next question, which is, what does it mean for kink in general? I mean, we're like on the, you know, we just got another teaser for the 50 Shades of Grey movie. Okay. Don't worry, he's not hitting her in the head. And, you know, do you think this pushes the conversation further, or do you think this further stigmatizes people who do this kind of play?
Well, I think that there are like a whole bunch of different cultural factors at play right now that are making these conversations happen. It's just an intersection of a bunch of things. I mean, Anita Sarkeesian and the whole Gamergate thing, in Canada, we've had a lot more media attention, and it's still not nearly enough. But to the question of these over 1,000 missing and possibly murdered Aboriginal women that the government does not seem to be willing to look into, broader conversations about consent because of even, I mean, we get the news too, right? So in California with the affirmative consent law that's happened, there's just a whole bunch of things sort of all at once that I think have coalesced. And this particular case is making the conversation explode, but there's so many other things that have worked into it, right? Even 50 Shades, I've got to say, right? Like, I hated the books. Why did they make everybody talk about kink all of a sudden, right? I think all of these things have been like building towards a bigger conversation happening, and this is just the next step in it. I don't know if it stigmatizes kinky people. I think the people who think kinky people are terrible already thought that, and they will probably keep thinking that. And the people who didn't are now actually being exposed to a little more sort of a critical viewpoint, right, where they can maybe start to sort of assess these things for themselves and not just believe rhetoric on any side.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's evidenced by there's hundreds of comments on your blog about your post. And I never read comments on the internet because in general, they make my head explode. But I was actually pleasantly surprised. I mean, there were definitely things I totally disagreed with, but there was some nuanced discussion in the comments, which made me think, okay, have we actually turned the page on this? Can we actually have these discussions about the complications and the complexity and the communication and not just sort of dismiss it out of hand? So, I mean, I think you're a part of that. And we got to take another break.
Okay.
We're going to shift the conversation. We're staying on BDSM, but I want you to go into your weekend positively, people. So coming up next, we've got two segments of Ask Tristan where Andrea is going to stick around and we are going to answer all your BDSM questions. Or maybe you want to ask one yourself. You can call us 866-472-5788. Stay with us. More after the break.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Sport Sheets is the sex toy company that's been keeping couples connected for over 20 years. Their fantasy restraint and sex toy products redefine sexual adventure. From bondage and sexual positioning to strap-ons and role play, Sport Sheets makes a toy for everyone's taste and budget. So go treat yourself to something from Sport Sheets, available wherever great sex products are sold.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We're talking today with Andrea Zanin, who is a BDSM expert and has written some of the best commentary on this particular case on the internet. We're also live, so you can call us and talk to us at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. We are going to have two segments of Ask Tristan today because I wanted to kind of shift the conversation a little bit and, I don't know, end on a better note than we started. And we get so many listener questions about BDSM. So I've picked a bunch of them and Andrea and I are both going to weigh in. So are you ready to get started?
Woohoo, I'm in.
Okay. Dear Tristan, me and my man are really wanting to experiment with me dominating. I have always had fantasies about it, but when it comes to sex, I'm kind of a dead fish. This is how she describes herself. I just let him take over. I mean, I can tell him what feels good and what doesn't, but I just can't seem to bring myself to overtake him and have my dirty little way with him. I mean, what do I say? Is it going to sound stupid? Do I have to be mean or just aggressive and go for what I want? Help, signed, a silly hindrance.
Aww. That's awful.
I know, it's sweet though.
It is. It's totally sweet. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think we so in response to that, my first thought is that this person needs to be exposed to other women who do this and not just to sort of fantasy. You know what I mean? Because I think it sounds to me like she's been reading a lot of books or stories that are fictional and that are all about women being cold, mean bitch goddesses or what have you. And that's kind of just not how we do it in real life. So it's kind of like throw her into a, you know, coffee clutch with 5 or 10 other ladies who like to do this and get some validation. I don't know. It's my first thought. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it struck me again too, that she has this image of like what a dominant is supposed to be and it's, mm-hmm. and it's mean and aggressive and that doesn't feel organic to her, or it doesn't feel natural, or she doesn't feel like she can tap into that side of her. And so, yeah, I want her to get a broader, you know, it's like, I want her to get some real time experience with people who do BDSM and see how many different kinds of dominance there are. And I feel like when she says, like, she's going to overtake him and have her dirty little way with him, I feel like that's like the kernel that I would focus on. I feel like that's her dominance coming out. That's her style. That's the kind of dominant she is. And it's organic to her.
Yep.
So I would say take that little phrase, which you yourself wrote, and run with it, and don't feel constricted by what you think you should be doing or what you think it should look like or sound like. You do you in the way that you want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And then on top of all that, just think about, if you're doing something, quote unquote, because you should, or not doing something because you shouldn't, then something else is in charge, right?
Right.
And picking up your dominance and working with it involves saying, you know what, I'm going to do this my way, actually. right? And then talk to your partner and make sure that way is all right with them. But, the idea is that you're trying to be you, not the way somebody else says you should.
Okay, and I've got another one. This one came by email from Mark. And Mark says, my latent need for BDSM play has come roaring to the surface and it's reawakened in me. This desire has taken such hold of me that it's really quite inexorable. Mark's very smart as well. My problem is that C, my older partner, always made sure I was the top when we did something kinky because she was naturally submissive. Yet I can see great benefit in being submissive to a woman, and I'd like a chance to explore being both a top and a bottom. The idea of being restrained while a dom imposes her will and discipline on me is erotically charged for me. I also like taking control of a woman who freely gives up that control to me. So in short, I'm a dom with younger women, and I'm a sub with older, more experienced women. Does that make me a switch? How do I explore both sides of me without really knowing my true BDSM identity?
Because switch isn't a true BDSM identity or anything.
Right. Okay, well, talk about that. Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's just told us what his identity is. He seems to know himself pretty well. And I don't think that there's any contradiction in there. I think that if he is monogamous, that might be a problem, unless he can detach that switchiness from an age requirement, which I think is also potentially a source of rich possibility, right? Just because someone's older or younger than you does not mean they're more or less experienced or, more or less dominant. It's just one of those external factors, right?
Right.
There's my first two thoughts.
I mean, yeah, I think it's interesting that his question seems to be answered in his own question. Like he's thinking that there's this thing called his true BDSM identity, and mm-hmm. he feels like he sort of hasn't found it or he doesn't know it, when it seems like he kind of knows what he likes and knows what he wants. So I feel like some of this is about him giving himself permission to explore these different sides and maybe not feeling pressure that that these certain dynamics develop and that sometimes he's one way and sometimes the other, and maybe he'll find a partner where he does both with the same person, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Some people can't do that. But to just sort of follow that to wherever it's going to go rather than question it, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Take a chance, man.
Yeah. Mark? Okay, this is a good one and a complicated one. Are you ready? It's a long story. Okay. We might have to think about it on the break. Okay.
Yeah.
Dear Tristan, my issue is this. My husband and my wife are starting to explore BDSM together after about 2 years of us being a triad. I have always been completely cool with BDSM in the abstract. I don't personally enjoy pain during sex. I've tried and I wanted to, but I just don't. But if two consenting adults want to do it, more power to them. Each couple in our triad has their own relationship as a pair. So, for example, A with B, B with C, and A with C. And their sexual relationships with one another are considered private matters. Again, I'm totally fine with this. We also have a sexual and romantic relationship as a triad, and we sleep all together about 4 nights out of 7. However, the private things they're doing together leave semi-public marks that I see in the bedroom or in the shower until they fade. There are packages with books and BDSM paraphernalia arriving at the house about every 3 days, and I'm the one who brings in the mail. Obviously, I don't open it. I understand that they're really excited about being able to explore these aspects of their sexuality together, but I'm starting to feel overwhelmed by what I perceive as the intensity of it. Am I overreacting? What I want is to completely and utterly accept and support their private sexual relationship, whatever it entails. But it's taking longer than I hoped for me to adjust. Okay, let's digest that. Because there's a lot of things going on. They're in a triad, so they are polyamorous. They have these multiple partners. They've been together for 2 years. And two of the partners, the non-writer of this letter, have become involved in BDSM. And the third writer is experiencing some, just basically some jealousy as a, you know, blanket term.
Or concern or feeling of not really understanding it or something. It's interesting that she doesn't quite say it, right?
I mean, she says... I guess she says, I'm starting to feel overwhelmed by what I perceive as the intensity of it.
Right.
So they're experiencing something and they have this connection that maybe she doesn't have with either or both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I hear this and to me, so the first question that comes to mind is, why does it need to be private? Like if the privacy of this other sexual relationship is causing this much distress or potential misunderstanding or jealousy or concern or whatever it is. I don't know. I can't tell if it's that she's bothered by the marks or she doesn't understand the frequency. Like it's kind of like that the actual concern is a little mysterious in there. But it does sound like the thing that's causing the most difficulty is the inability to talk about it. Right?
Right.
Like that there's something in there that can't be disclosed or shared except that she sees all the evidence of it. So there's this mystery at the core. And I wonder if that can just change. Like, can they just decide that they are going to, for the purposes of this adjustment period or for the purposes of, you know, the exploration of BDSM specifically or something, could that not just be put on the table as now discussable since the absence of discussion is causing this trouble?
I mean, yeah, this makes me think about, I knew this couple that was not kinky, and one of the people in the couple came out as kinky and really, really was really into it. And so she found herself a dominant, and she used to go like every month to see the dominant, and they would play pretty heavy, and she liked a lot of impact play. And so she would inevitably come home with bruises, not like she's hurt and she can't walk, just bruises that you see in the shower or whatever. Her butt would be bruised, her back, whatever. And it definitely kind of tweaked the non-kinky person. So one of the things that they had to do was kind of sit down and say, okay, I like to have this kind of don't ask, don't tell piece of our relationship, but you're kind of telling me anyway without words because I'm seeing it. Yeah. And I was struck too that it's interesting that they all live together and they consider their separate sexual relationships private.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that the door doesn't have to be closed or that those dynamics have some kind of emotional privacy, but it did seem odd that like they're in a triad and they're living together and they often sleep in the same bed and yet they don't ask each other questions about their sexual relationships. I mean, it seems like that's where the issue is. Like, and I, because I also feel like when you don't know, you make shit up, right?
Yes, exactly.
Like, you imagine that they are like flying to the moon and back on their BDSM magic carpet, right? And you
want one of those
because you don't know, right? Like you just don't know, and so you feel like, oh my god, they have this thing, and it's so intense, and I don't have anything like that with my partner. And so maybe if you could know more about what they do, it would feel a little more comfortable to them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, like but some people don't like sharing that much and don't like disclosing that much. Do you feel like, what if this person doesn't want to know?
Well, I wonder too, but I mean, at the same time, there's mysterious packages that are not opened. There's marks that are not just like where the context isn't provided for what happened. I don't know. I mean, if it is really an intensity thing, like, again, I'm still not sure what it is that the concern is. Is it that she's worried about safety? Is it that she's feeling left out?
I think she's feeling left out. I think she's feeling left out. And she's feeling like they've found this new thing that bonds them in a way that she'll never be bonded.
Right. Well, and in that sense also, I mean, I think also just even what she said earlier about, you know, that she tried, she doesn't like pain in the bedroom, she tried it and it wasn't her thing. BDSM is actually a lot more than that. So if this is a person who actually feels like she is open, it may be that there's elements of kink that actually would really work for her very well, and she wouldn't have to be alone on the, you know, left out of the picture. It's just that maybe those, I mean, listen, maybe if she tried, like, decorative bondage, she would feel amazing. I don't know. I mean, it just feels like the umbrella of BDSM covers so many things.
Yeah, so much more than pain. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's, she might not actually need to be as left out as she might feel.
And I do know couples who, as strange as it may sound to people who are not, have never been non-monogamous, I know couples who've had this experience and said, listen, I want you to come see us play. I want you to come see us do a BDSM scene so you know what that entails.
Totally.
And when they're, you know, and if they're open to it, I think it can actually bring everyone a little bit closer, and there can be a basic grounding of what it is they're doing and what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that might also inspire her, or it might say, she might say, yeah, that stuff, no, I'm not into it. And then I think you have to, if you're not into it, you have to let them be into it, and you have to be comfortable not being into it. I don't want you to put pressure on yourself that you're like not kinky. So you're like not the fun partner. You're not the cool partner. You're not the cutting edge partner. I want you to be okay. So I guess the final part of this for me is there some need that isn't getting met? And this is like triggering the jealousy. So is there some way in which you don't feel like you have an intensity that you want with your, with this one partner or with both partners, each partner, you want a kind of intensity. It doesn't have to take the form of BDSM, but you're missing an intensity. And is that a need that's unmet? And this is really bringing that up for you. I think that's where you can kind of go inward and explore, okay, why is this really pushing my buttons?
Totally.
Okay, we're going to take another break. Wow, that was a long one, but a good one, Andrea.
It's totally good.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it'll be our final segment of taking your listener questions. All of you folks, if you heard your question, email me, you're getting a prize, and it's your last chance to talk to us live. 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Between us, we have more than 25 years of experience in BDSM, so if you've got a question, we have an opinion and maybe an answer. So, don't go anywhere.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We've been talking about BDSM tonight and consent, and we are doing two Ask Tristan segments. We're also live. This is your final chance to talk to Andrea Zanin, who is our expert, and me, kind of knows a few things too. Call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Okay, this one is a little bit off the beaten path, but I thought it was a good one for you. And it comes from Randy. I've heard some comments on multiple partner relationships, and I'm not sure about a suitable, reasoned response. I'm hoping you can help. How would you respond to the following comments? One, it's hard enough, I mean time and energy wise, to maintain and nurture a one-on-one relationship. Bringing in an extra person is only inviting trouble. Okay, so maybe we'll take them as they come because he's broken them down. So it's hard enough to maintain a one-on-one relationship. Bringing an extra person is inviting trouble.
Well, it's also inviting a whole lot of other things, right? So I think that, one my old adage, when you're doing some sort of non-monogamy, 50% of good non-monogamy is dealing with your own crap. 40% is picking other people who have also been good at dealing with their own crap. And then, about 10% is, the technical stuff like, figuring out your schedules and whether you're going to use Google Calendar or whatever, right? So, I think depending on, where you're at and what kind of partners you're picking, that changes the equation drastically. So this isn't just like a numbers game, and then on top of that, if you are looking at what you bring in that might be negative in a multiple person partnership, you've also got to look at what you might bring in that might be positive, including things like really practical resource sharing, whether it's, sharing a car or rent or just being able to help each other out in everyday circumstances. I mean, the benefits are huge and they're not for everybody, but you do have to sort of not just look at the possible downsides.
Yeah, and I think also it can take the pressure off of a primary relationship when you have a secondary relationship that fills a particular need that the primary isn't. And instead of sort of focusing on like, oh my God, I just really wish my primary partner was into bondage. They're not into bondage. But then finding someone to do bondage with kind of just says, okay, let's focus on what I do have with this other person, which is great. And I'll get the bondage thing over here and that'll be great. And so it also could like be a pressure release valve in some cases, if all goes well.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, and at the same time, I mean, regardless of how you're structuring things, the idea that you're dealing with whole people, right? So, you might start out doing the bondage thing, but gee, maybe your bondage person is actually really great and likes those 1950s era movies that you like. And, maybe your, sort of fuller time partner is somebody who could really use some computer advice. I don't know, right? I mean, there's just these ways of finding connection that you kind of don't always know until you start, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, his next statement that he wants some help with a suitable reasoned response to is, being bisexual or queer flexible is narcissistic. You're essentially saying that you don't care who does you so long as you can find someone to get you off.
Really?
But someone in his life is saying these. I mean, this is obvious. Like, Randy's not asking for a friend. Like, someone in his life is telling him this shit, and he's like, doesn't want to go off on them. He wants to give them a reasonable response.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's... How do you even... My question to Randy would be, why are you hanging out with these people? but yeah, okay. So the idea that maybe there's some sort of narcissism to being queer, I don't know. I where do you even start, right?
It's not just about sex is the first thing I would say. Being bisexual or flexible or heteroflexible or whatever is not just about sex. And it's kind of not just about being that selfish. I mean, you want to develop these dynamics, these experiences, these relationships with other people. And it's like a two-way street. This isn't about like what the bisexual person getting all the orgasms they want and everyone else just showing up to like service them. Unless that's your dynamic, which is totally valid as long as everyone's consented to it.
Hey, wait, that could be really hot.
Hold on. I know. That's why as I was saying it, I was like, well, that could be good if they all just showed up and then went home. Right.
and left the chocolate.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. And I think also there's something, to me, this feels like really implicit homophobia and biphobia as well. But it's basically like, you know, I'm hearing undertones of the whole sort of like, well, the rest of the world just has one person. So, you know, what are you so special that you should have more than one person or gender or whatever, you know? And it's just kind of like, oh, really? Like, that we're getting so basic here that it's almost like I don't know if I can give a more intelligent answer than you really got to get over this. Like, this is, you know, so sort of off. You're missing the point entirely. You know, and I don't.
And here's the other thing is you can be in a monogamous relationship and be super narcissistic. You can be in a polyamorous relationship and be the opposite, you know, really giving and really generous with your partners. Like, I feel like it's not a one-to-one correspondence is what I think.
Yeah, no, this is somebody who's really invested in the numbers, you know, in a way that I just don't think matches up with, you know, people.
Well, we're out of time, but thank you so much for being on the show today. I had so much fun.
Yeah, me too. What a treat.
Thanks. Just like go on and on for hours, really.
And we really could.
Okay, Andrea Zanon blogs at sexgeek.wordpress.com. You can find her on Twitter at sexgeekaz. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. You can always find me at puckerup.com and on Twitter at sexoutloudradio. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set. Hope you're enjoying Desire. Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when I'll have a surprise guest by which I don't even know who they are yet. Okay, no, we'll get our scheduling shit together and we'll tell you on the Twitter. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex and BDSM and consent out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.